Well, we're currently in this series. It's actually week two of a series that we're calling Discovery 101. And what we're doing in this series is we're basically focusing on one big question. It's just one question. That's going to be our focus for this series. And if you're taking notes, you'll see this in your notes so you can follow along with me. Here's the big question. The question is this: when I'm facing a decision in my life, how do I know what God wants me to do? How do I know what God wants me to do? And I just think that's a great question. That's a question that's probably the top question that pastors get asked by people of all ages. Pastor, can you help me? I want to know what God wants me to do. And when I'm asked that question, I think it's an honor that there's people that really want to know. God, I don't want to do it my way. I want to do it your way. I want to invite you into my life. I just get, that thrills me. And I know that thrills the heart of the Father when he sees his people saying, yes, Lord. Come into every area of my life. Yes, Lord, come into my decisions. I want you to be involved. So how do I know what you want me to do? That's a great, 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 great question, okay? And it's actually a question, it's about decisions. And we know that decisions come in all different shapes. Decisions come in all shapes and sizes. And these decisions that we make are very, very important. Very important. If you're following along in your notes this morning, fill in the blank here. It says the decisions we make today, they determine where we end up tomorrow. The decisions I'm going to make today, it may not mean immediately Monday morning. It may be a week from now, a month from now. It may be a couple months. It may even be a year away. But these decisions, they have a big impact in our lives. Some wise person said this. They said, we make our decisions, and then our decisions make us. That's how important decisions are, okay? See, we don't just arrive somewhere in life just by chance. We arrive different places in life as a response of the decisions that we have made up to that point in time. Does that make sense this morning? Actually, I would like to even go one step further and say that you're where you're at today. Think of your current situation. Think of your current surroundings. We're here today as the result of the decisions that we have made throughout the years. And a lot of you have made some wonderful, wonderful decisions. Last week I talked about my top decisions in life were fifth grade boy giving my life to Christ in a Baptist church. My number two biggest decision was saying yes to Heather when she asked me to marry her. That was a big deal. Uncle, or it was ugly. So anyway, and then going into the Air Force for me was it was a big, big decision that just changed everything about my life. It took a young guy that had no direction. It was in that time in the Air Force that God called me into the ministry. It was very impactful. So our decisions make a big, big deal in who we are. Okay, so decisions are very important. Okay, and I want to say this. I want to go one step further and say this, that not only do our decisions impact us as individuals, but our decisions also impact other people. Do you agree with that? My decisions that I make decisions all the time, and those decisions impact my beautiful bride, Heather. They impact my two sons, Grant and Nolan, but they also impact a lot of people. We all have influence in life. God has given us spheres of favor, of influence, and our decisions are going to impact not only my life, not only your life, but our decisions are going to impact a lot of people. So it's very, very important that we become solid, biblical-based, God-honoring decision-makers, okay? Decisions-makers from this day forward, okay? So what we did last week is we started this series by laying a foundation, and the foundation was in the form of a question, and the question, I believe, is in your notes. The question is this: when it comes to God's will, what does God care about most? God, when it comes to your will, what is it that you really care about the most? And last week we discovered this. What does God care about most? God cares about who before do. I know it sounds like a nursery rhyme, but basically what we're saying there is God is much more concerned about who you are than what you do. What you do is very important, but don't get the wagon ahead of the horse. The bigger deal is who are you? That's what matters most to God. Who are you becoming? And we looked at a beautiful verse in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, where it talks about God's will for us is that we become more and more like Jesus. And we talked about what that looks like. And when we become more and more about Jesus, he'll take care of all the other details in the journey of life. You got what I'm saying here this morning? So it's very, very important, okay? So what we're going to do is we're going to add a second piece of the foundation this morning. And I want you to write this down because this is what we're going to talk about. What does God care about most? Not only who before do, but also God cares about why before what. So fill in the blank there. God cares about why before what. Let me explain myself here. I do that a lot, having to explain myself. I want to let you know God is more concerned with why. Why? Let me share what I mean. He's concerned about why we want the things we want. He's concerned about why we do the things we do. God is more concerned about those things than the what. Yes, he's concerned about the what, but we need to make sure we focus, first of all, on the why. Why do I want this thing? Why do I want the things that I want? Why do I do the things that I do? And really, this is an issue of what I would call motives. Everybody say motives. Motives, okay? So, and I want to let you know, when it comes to what matters to God, motives matter. God is really concerned about the motives. That's a big deal to God. Why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you wanting the things that you want? What are the motives, okay? And I'd like to suggest that it's very possible for us to be doing some good things, but for the wrong reasons. Does that make sense? See, I could be doing good things. I could be going out and serving other people. I could go out be meeting needs. And in the midst of that good thing, I could be doing it for the wrong reason. I could be doing it for the reasons that people would say, well, look at Mike, isn't he something special? No, I'm not. So we could be doing the right things for the wrong reason. God is concerned about the why. Why? Why do you want these things? Why are you doing these things? Motives matter to God. I want you to look at one verse with me, Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. It's on the screen. It's in your notes. Jesus is addressing people who were focused on the what instead of the why, okay? And look at the verse. He says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, it's a scripture that comes out of a good, greatest sermon ever preached. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says these words. He says, watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by other people or by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. Okay? So let me ask you a few questions concerning this verse. Are good deeds a good thing to do? How many people would say yes? Good deeds are a good thing to do. Okay? I mean, it's great to serve on a committee. It's great to volunteer. It's great to do good things. Those are good. And Jesus is not downplaying doing good works, doing good things. So what is Jesus against in this verse? He's against doing the right what for the wrong why. He's against you doing the right what for the wrong why or the wrong motive, which in this case, people were doing things why? So that they would be admired by people. That was the bigger issue for them than the good deeds, is they were doing it for the wrong why, okay? This is what I want you to hear this morning, and please don't miss this. Your motives matter to God. Your motives matter to God. I came in here Thursday morning, quiet day. This is my place where I kind of hang out with God here in the sanctuary. And God just began to lay this on my heart. And actually, I wasn't even intended to preach this message. It was kind of a bummer. I had another message already completed. I hate those weeks. God, don't do that to me. But anyway, I got in here and God just began to speak to my heart about my motives. Some of the decisions that I'm making in my life, and God is saying, Mike, you really need to check the why before the what. And it was just one of those moments where God kind of just gets your attention. And so during that day, I just had to check my heart at the door and say, Lord, why do I want these things that I want? Why do I do the things that I do? See, I can come up here and preach a message, which is, I think, a good what. But I can do it with the wrong motive. My motive could be so that people would say, wow, you did a great job today, Mike. I really connected with what you were saying. But my motive needs to be to say, Lord, I do this for you. I do this to help people. I do this to bring glory to your name. So I just want to encourage you, motives matter to God. Let's look at one more verse. Proverbs 16:2 says, you may think everything is you do is right, but it's the Lord who judges. The Lord who judges your motives. God looks and he knows why you do the things you do. Okay? So motives matter to God to the point that God comes and he judges our motives. Why do I do what I do? Why do we want the things that we want? Motives matter to God. So what I want you to do right now is I want you to look at that very top of your notes this morning. You wrote down an answer to a question. The question is to write down one area of your life where you wish you knew what God wanted you to do. I want you to go back to that. At least I hope you have something written down, or at least in your mind. So what is that one area of your life where you wish you knew without a doubt, you wish you knew what God wanted you to do, okay? Now what I want you to do is I want you to look at that now through a different lens, now that we've talked for a few minutes. And here's the lens I want you to look at that from now, is I want you to ask yourself this question, why? Why? What's my motive? What's my motive? For example, let me throw out some examples to make sure there's clarity in the room this morning. Maybe you're faced with a decision where you're about to make a big purchase in life. You're about ready to go out. Maybe it's a new house. Maybe it's a new car. Maybe it's a boat. Maybe it's a motorcycle. Maybe it's a four-wheeler. It could be 101 different things. You could be about ready to make a big purchase in life, and you're facing a decision. The question I want you to ask yourself before you make these big decisions is this: why? Why? What's my motive behind making this big purchase in my life? Because you can ask these questions: is it a need? Is this something that I really need? Or is my motive is that I want to make this statement in my life that I really can't even afford to make? That's the why. Do I really need this, or am I buying this to impress other people? Am I doing this to get people to like me? Am I doing this to bring validation to my life? Am I doing this so people envy me, or do I really need this? Okay? Because here's what I want to tell you. We're going to be very practical here this morning. This is what I want to tell you. When we do things with the wrong why, I want to let you know the wrong why can set you back for years to come. You know what I'm talking about? If I buy something that I can't afford, that can put me back financially for years and years to come. And what's going to happen if I begin to live that type of lifestyle, what's going to happen is I'm going to find myself having to work extra hours, get a second job. I'm going to have to find a lot of ways to begin to pay off this debt that I have incurred because I had the wrong motive when I made the decision. And what happens is now we become entangled. We almost become a slave to our debtedness and to our decision because we started with the wrong motive. We started with the wrong motive, okay? And I want to let you know that those things can put you back for years to come. They can come and they can sneak into your marriage. They can sneak into the quality of your family time because you made a decision with the wrong motive, okay? And what we need to do is we need to make good decisions. We need to make godly decisions, Christ-honoring decisions for the right why. And you need to be careful when you're making a big purchase here because those things can put you back financially. By the way, I was listening to a podcast. I'm a big podcast listener. I like to go work out on the elliptical. Part of my elliptical workout is I put in my earbuds and listen to wonderful podcasts. And Thursday this week, I was listening to, I forget the name of the podcast, but what he does is he interviews church leaders. And one of the church leaders that he was interviewing was this guy that's got this church in Alabama that's just blowing up. His name is Chris Hodges. And they were talking to Chris Hodges in this interview, and the interviewer was asking about how does Church of the Highlands, how do they go about making a budget for their church? And he said, well, this is what my dad taught me, because his dad was just an amazing intellectual man. He said, my dad taught me to make sure that you only live on at least 80 to 90% of what you make. How many people need to hear that this morning? And he says, when it comes to the Church of the Highlands making a budget, what we do is we budget 90% of what we made last year. And so we have that 10% margin in our life. So when it comes time where a need arises, we're not strapped to the point where we can't meet a need. And he's saying what we're finding out of in our church is we're growing so quickly financially. Actually, it goes from a 10% margin to a 30% margin many years. And now we're a church that's able to be very, very, very generous when there's needs that come up. So let's relate that to our individual lives this morning. What would happen if you would begin to live within 90% of your means so that you could have a 10% margin? A 10% margin. So when a missionary came to this church or you heard that there was a need in the church, you were able to give to the need. Or if you said, hey, I love the mission of this church to proclaim Jesus and help people grow in their relationship with him, you'd be able to give towards the need. Are you hearing what I'm saying this morning? So what we need to do is we need to be people that, hey, when you're thinking about that big purchase, ask yourself why. Is this really a need? And it may be. It may be the green light to say, yes, I need that right now. In our time life, we need that. Or it may be saying, you know, Lord, I'm doing that with the wrong motive from the get-go. And if you start with the wrong motive from the get-go, that should put on flashing red lights. Stop. Danger, Will Smith. Don't go there. You know what I'm talking about? So we need to be very, very careful. Maybe you're about to make a decision concerning a job. There's a new job opportunity out there. You're going to be promoted. But if you take the job, maybe the promotion means you're going to travel longer into the cities and you're going to put more time on the road than you're getting to spend time at home. Or you're going to spend more time away from home. It's going to require that you travel. You need to ask, Lord, why? Why is this a big deal? Why? What's my motive for wanting to take this job? And that may save you a lot of heartache. It may save a lot in your family if you would just start with the right question. God, I have a big decision to make. And my decision, I want to start with, God, first of all, last week, I want to be the right person. Now this week, God, I want to ask the big question. Why do I want this thing? Why do I want that position? Why do I want that title? Is it about me getting the accolades? That's a bad place to start. That's going to lead you down a bad road that you're not going to be happy with. So there's a lot of decisions, and this is what I want you to say. How many people, by the way, wrote something down on your paper? Don't raise, but you wrote something down. I want to challenge you this week to take this message to a whole different level and take this message way outside the walls of this church this morning and take this message in your notes into your quiet time, into a quiet place this week. And I want you to just ask yourself, why? Why? What's my motive in this decision that I have to make? And I just want to encourage you to take that risk and say, Holy Spirit, help me to be honest with myself. Because a lot of times we say things that we really don't mean. Well, this is why. Well, we really don't mean that. Come on, why? Get down to the heart of the matter. Why? Why do I want that, okay? Because the goal should be in the life of the believer and everything that we do as followers of Jesus Christ, the goal, according to 1 Thessalonians 4:1, is that we should be living in a way that pleases God. We should be living in a way that gives glory to God, pleasing to God. And I want to let you know what's pleasing to God is when we do things with the right motive. Could we be a group of people that we have the right why in place in our life, that we have the right motive when we're facing decisions, saying, God, help me in this, okay? So why matters to God? And I'll just be very transparent with you this morning. There's been many, many times I've missed it in this area. Anybody with me? I've missed it in this area. There's many times where my motives have been me-centered instead of Christ and other-centered. But when we're making these decisions, the why is all about, God, I want to put you at the center, Jesus. I want to put other people at the center. I want to help people, okay? Because when we approach our life with the wrong why, with the wrong motive, I want to share a couple quotes from a friend of mine named Craig Crochelle. He said it's okay if I use these in church this morning, by the way, okay? Look at these, fill in the blanks. These are very important quotes. This is the danger of doing things with the wrong why. First of all, he says this. You can't get to the right place when you start with the wrong motives. Isn't that good? Can we all read that together? You just follow along. Don't read out loud. You can't get to the right place when you start with the wrong motives. If I have the wrong motive in doing something, and it may be even something that is God glorifying, Christ honoring, but I start with the wrong heart, I'm starting in a bad place. I'm starting in a bad place. The place where I need to start is, God, I need to start with the right motives. Is this about you or is this about me? Is this about others or is it about me? Okay? So Craig says you can't get to the right place when you start with the wrong motives. But on the other hand, and I love this one, he says, if you're driven by the right why, God will lead you to the right what. Isn't that good? If you're driven by the right motive, if you're driven by the right reason for doing things, God gets engaged in that life and he'll begin to lead you to the right what when you start with the right motive. So the right why is very important. I want to just repeat that today again. The right why in your decision making is going to be often determine success to failure. You got to start with the right motive. Why do I want this? Why do I want to do what I want to do? Start with the right foundation. And see, this even, we haven't even gotten into hearing God's voice and his will. We're starting on foundational stuff. It's you and him saying, God, why do I want this? Why is this important to me? Okay? So the right why is, it's really, really important that we have the right why, the right motives, okay? So we need to be people. That's where we start. And if you're going to be a person that has the right motives, the right why, you need to start with this question. And here's the question I want you to take into your prayer closet this morning or this week. How many people know church services better go way beyond the time we have in this room? But they need to go into our lives. We need to live this stuff out. We need to hash it out. James says if all we do is we hear, and that's all we do is we deceive ourselves, we need to become what? Doers, effective doers. Those are the people that are blessed. So this is what I want you to do this week, is I want you to take your notes into a quiet place. And here's the question I need you to ask yourself. Is my heart in the right place? Is my heart in the right place? God, am I doing this thing for the right reason? Am I wanting these things for the right reason? God, is my heart in the right place? Because that's a great place to start. Because I want to share a couple Bible verses with you. Write these. Actually, they're in your notes. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the human heart is what? The most deceitful of all things. Our heart is the most deceitful of all things. We can deceive ourselves into thinking that we're doing things for the right reason when maybe we're not. So we need to get into the presence of God and we need to say, Lord, help me. Because it says here, my heart is deceitful of all things. It's desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? And that's what was happening to me on Thursday this week as I was in the presence of the Lord, just saying, God, this is what I want. And God was asking me the big what question or why question. He was like, Mike, why? Why? Why is this what you want? And I really had to say, Lord, hopefully my heart's in the right place. Hopefully my heart is in a place that I'm not deceiving myself and lying to myself and telling myself stories. But Lord, I want my heart to be in the right place. I want to do this for the right reason. Amen? Is anybody identifying with what I'm talking about this morning? About two of you. All right, we're moving and shaking. Okay? So what's the answer? The answer is found in Psalms 139:23, and this is the prayer that you should pray this week. Search me, O God. Search me. That's what Thursday was all about for me. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Test me. Know my anxious thoughts. See if there be any offensive, evil way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. God, this is what I want. God, I'm a little cautious because my heart is deceitful. Is it possible I'm doing these things for the wrong reason? So, Lord, I come into your presence and I ask, Lord, will you help me? Will you search me? God, will you know my heart? Will you test my anxious thoughts? God, would you reveal to me if I'm doing this for the wrong reason? Do I want these things for the wrong reason? Am I doing these things for the wrong reason? How many people know that God hears our prayers? God hears our prayers. What we need to be willing is to listen, and to receive. And receive correction if we need correction. Receive a rebuking if we need a rebuking. God is faithful to lead us. God, why do I want to start this business? What's my motive, God? Why do I want to go out and buy a new motorcycle, God? God, why do I want to change jobs? Is it because I'm running from something else that I've never dealt with? Is it because I feel like I need to make more money, more money, more money? God, why do I want these things? And a lot of us would do ourselves a huge favor in our decision-making process if we would simply start with this one question. Why? Why? Why do I want this? Why do I want to do these things? And here's the deal. If it's for the wrong reason, you need to regroup. You need to regather. You need to have a come to Jesus meeting. You need to say, okay, Lord, maybe I need to start all over. Or yes, Lord, maybe that's it, but I need to get my heart right at the get-go. At the start of this journey, maybe I need to get my heart right at the get-go. So here's the conclusion. And this is in your notes this morning. It's actually where we started this morning. What's the one area of your life where you wish you knew what God wanted you to do? That's where we started. That's where we're going to end. But now the question is this. Is your greater focus on the what? Or is your greater focus on the why? Is your greater focus on this is what I want, God, this is what I want, this is what I want, this is what I want, Lord, I want that so bad. And I can identify with you because there's things in my life that I really want really, really bad. Some things so bad that I have sleepless nights. And God is saying, Mike, you need to get the wagon behind the horse. And you need to ask yourself this question. And everybody said it together. Why? Why? Why do I want this? And I'm not saying this is going to turn every decision into a negative. It can be a yes or it could be a no. I mean, it's going to work both ways for you. There may be times where God gives you this big green light. Go for it. That's a great motive. That's a great reason. It's going to give glory to me. It's going to make me happy. It's going to make a positive difference in other people. Yes, go for it. And then there's going to be times where we got to be willing to hear God say, you know what? That's really all about you. And that's when you say, everybody say this together, ouch. How many people have ever had to say ouch before? Ouch. God, I'm starting this whole thing the wrong way. And I want to encourage you today. Let's be people that don't say, God, I'll figure out my own decisions on my own. Let's be people that we start our decisions with God. God, I want to be last week the person you want me to be. I want to be more like Jesus. And then this week, the question is, God, why? And I want to encourage you in this journey, be honest. Be honest. Be honest with yourself. Sometime you might need to include another person in this conversation, somebody that can really look at you and say, you know what, Michael, I don't think you're I don't know if your motive's in the right place. Are you willing to hear that? Because these decisions are huge. They determine where you're going to end up. Don't you want to include God with something that's going to determine where you end up? And everybody said, absolutely. I want God to be in the middle of that. So let's just use good common sense. Let's get into the presence of God and ask this one question. Why? Why? So let's bow our heads this morning. Father, if there's any time in this message today that I've been confusing to the people who are here to listen, I just pray, God, that you'd bring clarity to them, even not right now, but even throughout this week. I just depend upon the work of the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, I just pray that you'd speak to us throughout this week. Lord, I pray that we'd have the courage to take these notes and to take these thoughts into a quiet room. And, God, that we'll be people that will just listen. As we are honest, I just pray, God, that you would speak to us and we would be mature enough to listen to your answer. And God, I just ask that we would be people that would make Christ-honoring decisions. So, Lord, help us today. Let's just bow our heads this morning. Let's just wait on the presence of the Lord this morning. Is there anybody right now, we're not going to ask you what it is, but if just by raising of your hand, is there anyone here today that you're facing a big decision in the days, the week to come? Is there anyone in this room? Just don't be afraid. Just put your hand up. That we're going to keep your hand up. Father, I just pray for those who lifted up their hand. They're facing a significant decision today. Just ask that you would be with them. May their heart be pure. May their motives be in line with you and ask, Lord, that you would help them to make a decision that would lead them to a place that you would want them to be. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.